Lord God, we thank you that the original idea of Christmas was yours, that you so loved the world, that you gave of yourself, of who you are. And so, Lord, I pray today, if we haven't already connected with that this Christmas season, with the whole concept of who you are and why we celebrate Christmas, Lord, we pray that you'd help us connect with that today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to continue my confessions. And who was it? Was it you, Steve? Said, who's excited about Christmas? I'm not that excited about Christmas. And you know why? Because I haven't taken the time recently. And I'm doing okay. It's all right. You know, me and Jesus are okay, just if you're worried about me. But I don't think I've spent the time in the reflection space in the last few weeks. Christmas has stuck up on me. And I was thinking about this week, particularly looking at this message. I thought, well, I don't get that excited about presents. I do get excited about catching up with family, but my mum and dad can't come down this year. So, you know, that's a bit of a downer for me. And so what do I get excited about? And as I was looking at this message, I thought, that's right. And I'm going to unpack this and see if we can land on a place where does the joy really come from? Why is there joy at Christmas time? Part of it is in the carol, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And that's what I want to unpack this morning, is the fact that we need a Savior. That we celebrate Christmas because Christmas reveals our rescuer. I'll never forget a friend of ours who helped a lot with Red Shield Appeal, and a friend of mine from Rotary, a guy called Mario, lovely Italian man from Sicily, actually, that I knew up in Toronto, and had this lovely home, and he'd invite us to his home. And I remember this one time we're going there, and Kate and Tully only little, and we'd had a lovely, we're having a swim before dinner, lovely hospitable man. And so we jumped in the pool, and Tully might have been about 18 months old, I don't know, but Melissa was right there with her, had her in her arms, and she must have just been on the step. And then if you've ever wondered how kids drown, this is how they drown, is that she just fell and went back under the water, face up like this, and I was watching her, so I was right there and grabbed her immediately, but she didn't fight. There was just this like shock, and she didn't fight. She didn't try to do anything. She just went down in the water like this. And she didn't know what was happening. She's 18 months old. There's probably shock. Like, that's how kids drown, because they don't know what to do. But I mean, that picture for me is like, I think part of the problem with our world is we don't know that we need rescuing. Like, Talia didn't know what to do at 18 months of old, going down under the water in a swimming pool. And I think sometimes the reason we're not joyful about Christmas is, firstly, we don't even know that we need rescuing. There's a world out there that's, I don't even know how to put it. The term in my mind right now is highway to hell. I know they sung a song about it. Sometimes songs are more prophetic than you realize, are they? Because we sing out of our soul. So this morning I want to unpack this about a rescuer. And the first point is, we all need someone to rescue us. Are you okay with that? Because a lot of us aren't. You want to throw that picture up, guys? I think I got this off the internet. It's like self-esteem. And you know what? You might feel like a pussycat, but believe that you're a lion and you will be. You know, that's a load of can I say that's a load of crap? Because if that pussycat shows up in the forest, in the savannah, it's dead meat. It's not the king of the jungle. You know, as human beings, what we need to discover is we're not big, tough lions, friends. We're little kitties. And the enemy will snatch us up and smash us up really quickly. There's only one lion in the universe in this context. That's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he is our rescuer. And see, the problem with this kind of psychology and stuff out there is, you know, if I tell myself enough times that I'm this, then I'll be this. That's a load of rubbish, friends. Okay? Faith is a different thing. If I'm standing on the Word of God and I'm believing to be what God's called me to be, absolutely, I'll become that. But if I just stand in the mirror and say, every day in every way I'm getting better and better, yeah, no, not really. Okay, we have to add the God factor. And so my first point really this morning is about us just accepting that we need to be rescued. You know, half the problem, I grew up on the Sunshine Coast in the surf, so I'm quite comfortable, probably not these days, so comfortable in a rip. But we used to get caught in rips and laugh because we knew how to get out of them. We knew how to get rescued. We knew when to ask for help. And we had mates on surfboards that we'd ask for help if we needed help, you know, or if you're on a surfboard, you're a lot safer than if you're not on a surfboard. So you know when you need rescuing. But why a lot of people drown in the surf is they don't know when they need rescuing. They think they'll be okay. They keep swimming against the rip and thinking they'll be okay. They get exhausted and they drown. And this morning I want to ask you, are you okay with just knowing that you need a rescuer? Because often we're not okay with that. I can make it. I'll stiff upper lip, pull my boots up. You know, that's our human nature. I'll be okay. No, you won't be okay. Without Jesus, I'm not okay. And without Jesus, I can't be okay. And I need to be okay with that. That's actually the first step. We don't hear enough about the fact that we need rescuing, I think. So if you don't know you need a rescuer, you're not going to get excited when the rescuer shows up. Does that make sense? If I remember years ago, I was a little kid, and the Salvation Army this Nambour Salvation Army band used to drive up into the mountains to this place called Conondale, which is at the back of Mullaney, if you know the area. And so I'm driving. Somehow I got to go with Dad that year. Dad was playing in the band. I was only a little guy, and I was with my gran. And we hit a pothole and got a flat tire in the middle of nowhere, if you know Conondale, and this is like 40 years ago or more. And we're stuck on the side of the road in the evening, it's dark, and Dad couldn't get the nut off because, you know, when you go take your car to the mechanic, change the tires, go, and they're all too tight. If you work in the tire industry, don't tighten up people's nuts too tight, okay? And so, in the wheel, and so... You know what happened? We're stuck on the side of the road and a truck come along. And I don't know if you know truckies, and they have the real gear, you know, like big bars and that. Anyway, got our tire off, we got it fixed, we managed to get where we're going. And, you know, I remember going home and telling the story to Mom and going, thank God for the truckies. Because I knew we were stuck on the side of the road and we weren't going to get anywhere unless someone come to rescue us. And the same thing is, we're going to say, thank God for Jesus, if we realized that we were stuck on the road, and if Jesus didn't show up, we'd still be stuck on the road. That's where the joy comes from. See, I had a friend who never understood grace. You know why she didn't understand grace? Because she never understood she was a sinner in need of grace. And we journeyed with her for months. She's actually a student on the Salvos Discipleship School many years ago. And she got the revelation. I said, what happened? She goes, I realized that I was a sinner. See, she grew up in the church and then gave her heart to Jesus and never really done any of the big sins, see? And she didn't understand what sin was. She didn't understand that sin is us just being independent from God and saying, God, I don't want a relationship with you. I don't need you. I'm okay. Mind your own business. That's what sin is. So in our human nature, even as a small child, she was still sinful. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. And so when she realized that she needed rescuing, she then understood grace. See, grace isn't that exciting if you don't think you need it. So we need to realize that first and foremost, we have a need of a Savior. Without Him, we're in trouble. Secondly, the exciting thing is Jesus is qualified to rescue us. Hebrews 7:26 says, we have a high priest. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Have you ever, I just got to celebrate this now, I think. We have a new property guy, and our floor, for those who don't know, we extended the hall a few years ago, and where the slab joins just about there, about 2 or 3 months, when it first rained, after the building was complete, we had an inner spring. Poor Sandy, I thought she was going crazy. Sandy, if you're listening, I apologize again. But she said, the hall's leaking. And so, you know, I understand property to some degree. So I'm coming in here, I'm looking at the roof and the wall. There is no signs of any water leaks anywhere. There's just water on the seat, on the carpet. And I got, oh no. If you know anything about buildings, trying to fix water coming up through a slab. I thought, what are they going to do? Dig the slab up? How are they going to fix that? So, you know, 3 years later, along comes a guy called Ben Bell, who's our new property guy, who knows a guy called Matt, I forget Matt's last name, who's a property manager of, you know, maintenance firm, property maintenance manager firm, whatever you call it. And Matt comes in and goes, oh, I think we should pull up the carpet, do this, this, and this, get my, you know what? As far as I know, it's been raining. I can't find any, our water's, our leaking problem's fixed. Right? And the point I'm trying to make is you need to have the right people doing the right job. I don't take my toaster to the motor mechanic. Do I? Why is Jesus the person we go to save our soul, to find eternity, to find love, joy, peace, patience, all those great things? Because he's the only one that can help us access those things. I'm not going to take my car to, you know, the pool shop. Am I? Can you help me with this? But the problem is we take our need for forgiveness. We take our need for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness to all the wrong places. We take our need for relationship. You know, if you struggle with loneliness, we're supposed to take that not even to our wife or husband. We're meant to take that first and foremost to Jesus. And then the whole wife and husband thing works a whole lot better. Because we're going to Jesus. We're not expecting our wife and husband to meet all our needs. Indeed, Jesus is meeting most of them. That makes a very different marriage, friends. Jesus is qualified to rescue us. Because, and what the verse says there, is because he was perfect. You know the reason why I couldn't have died for your sins? Because I'd be dying for my own sin. The reason Jesus could die for our sins is because he was perfect. And, you know, that's why I believe in a virgin birth, because he was born of the Spirit of God, not of man. He was not born into original sin. So he never needed to be saved. And so when he died on the cross, he was dying for our sin. He was dying to reconnect us with God. That's why Jesus was qualified. He was good enough to die for our sins. I love that picture in Revelation. I don't know if you're familiar with that picture in Revelation. I haven't got it up on the screen today. But when they go to open the scroll and they weep because they found no one worthy of opening the scroll. And then all of heaven rejoices and say, ah, but there's the Lamb who was slain. He is worthy to open the scroll. Friends, that's another picture of the fact that Jesus is the only one who is worthy of being our Savior. You know what? I'm not worthy of being your Savior. Salvation Army is not worthy of being your Savior. Your husband or wife's not worthy of being your Savior. Your kids aren't worthy of being your Savior. Your job's not worthy of being your Savior. There's only one. Where's your security today? That's the magic question. Who are you expecting to help you today? Because everything and everyone else is going to fall short. And if you haven't encountered that already, you're going to be pretty disappointed. I've only found there's only one person who's never, ever let me down. And his name is Jesus Christ. Everyone else and everything else has let me down at some point in time. Not because they wanted to, not because they're bad people or rubbish organizations. It's because they're not Jesus. So we have to put our faith in Jesus. Not the Salvation Army or not Andrew and Melissa or not Val or not Nate. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who's qualified. Have I labored the point enough? And finally, Jesus is the only one who can rescue us. Now, I know that sounds a bit like my last point, but it's not. Trust me. I'm going to share these three verses. I love this one. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. The testimony given in its proper time. You may also be familiar with John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Friends, things have changed a lot in the last 30 or 40 years. Even in the church, we kind of dumbed down the truth. There's only one Savior. So you can follow Buddhism if you want to. You can follow Islam if you want to. But the Bible very clearly says there's only one Savior. And his name's not Muhammad. And it's not Buddha. And you know what, friends? I believe the time will come when we have to stand up. You think it's hard getting to church Sunday morning? I want to challenge you whether you would confess Jesus' name if you lived in Nigeria right now. Come on, this is the real thing. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you really believe in his ability to save you and give you an eternity? There were some guys on a beach in Egypt that were Coptic Christians a few years ago that totally believed in Jesus Christ enough to give their lives. I'm sick of the truth being watered down, friends. There's only one Savior, and his name's Jesus. And I don't care what society says. I don't believe what society says. I believe what the Bible says. That's what a Christian is. If you don't want to be a Christian, that's okay. But if you are a Christian, it means you believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says there's one Savior. And that's why we get joyful at Christmas time. See, if we don't believe Jesus is our Savior and that we need him, there's just another Christmas. I hope I get a good present. Mate, who cares about the presents? If I have, like we've heard today, his presence. I don't know about you, but when I get his love and his joy and his peace, mate, you can give me a rock and I'll be excited. Seriously. Because everything changes. I love the old chorus. You know, we used to sing it often. "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim." Friends, if the lights of this earth are too bright, your eyes need to come back onto Jesus. Because when you see him, he said, I am the light. He is so bright that everything else just seems secondary. Everything just seems like dry toast in comparison to him. Seriously, you ever eaten a dry cracker with nothing on it? Now, if this world tastes better than that to you, I suggest you get your focus back onto Jesus. Because what he gives us is so rich that everything else just seems average. And I tell you what, then, I know, one of my favorite memories of Christmas was watching on TV the Brisbane carols. They used to have the carols in Brisbane on the riverside. And a guy called Rick, I forget his last name. That's terrible, isn't it? I think it was Rick. I might have the wrong name. Anyway, he was a popular singer at the time, probably 30 years ago. And he did quite well on the charts for a little while. And I don't know, he must have been a Christian because and I don't know the story behind that really, but he showed up at the carols this night. And it was the most powerful part of the carols. And he said, "I just want to dedicate this next song to Jesus." And he just started strumming on his guitar and sang, "Oh, Silent Night." And, you know, the presence of God just fell on that place, and even through the TV as I was watching, going, wow. And I went into a space watching, you know, Brisbane Council's organised carols. I was taken into a place of worship because someone put Jesus first and honoured Jesus and took me into his presence. So this morning, I'm not sure if we got the prayer up. I didn't ask for it, but the guy's off and all over it. So we'll put the prayer up. Well done. Thank you. You know what? If you want to have a good Christmas this year, just pray this prayer. If you haven't done your shopping, all your shopping, who cares? You haven't got all the food cooked you want, who cares? If you haven't wrapped your presents, who cares? Because none of it makes any difference or any meaning unless we've sorted this one. This is actually the thing that, you know what, when we give our lives to Jesus, the grass starts looking greener, the sky starts looking bluer. The flowers, you know, I've been planting petunias because I have a bit more time. I don't mind pottering around in the garden. You think I'm old now. look on my Facebook page, right? And one of the students from 2009, they called me Pops. And I was only 40 back then. And I'll tell you why they called me Pops, right? Because I said, I'm not frightened of getting old. Because God gave me a vision for getting old. You know, I got a vision for being retired. I'm going to be one of these old guys, just potters around my yard. Might breed a few birds, plant a few plants, say hello to the neighbors, wander down, you know, have a coffee, chat. One of those annoying old men that sits in the cafe talking to everyone. I'm going to be that guy. I got a vision, so I'm not scared of my retirement. I'm looking forward to it. So yesterday, anyway, I'm pottering around the garden, and I planted some petunias. And you know what? I saw this one, it's just a bit different to all the others. And it's worship, you know. When we see that and we look at it, we go, wow, you know that's worship. You know that's worship. And when we're in relationship with Jesus, that's what makes the flowers look that much better. That's what makes the birds sound that much better. That's what makes people look so much better, is because we're filled with the love of Jesus. So I want to invite you this morning. First and foremost, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, pray this prayer with me. And secondly, if you think you got your focus on the wrong thing this Christmas, let's recommit our lives to Jesus Christ, and He'll bring the joy and the peace and the love to this Christmas like you've never experienced before. Dear Jesus, pray it with me. I need You, and I believe in You, and I receive Your forgiveness. Thank You for dying on the cross for me, and for giving me life and eternity. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.